Chapter 7, The Child Who Returned Speaking Death. By the third day, people had begun tying cloth to the hazard fence again. The officials cut the cloth away each morning. The families came back each afternoon. Ovek watched the pattern from the temporary shelter built beside the service road, where the walls were thin composite panels and the floor flexed when too many people walked at once. The shelter had been a survey station before the collapse. Then it had been storage. Now it was a place to keep a returned child where grieving people could see their silhouette through a cloudy window and decide what the universe had meant. Ovek did not like the window. They did not like the bed either. The bed was too high off the floor, and the mattress gave under their weight as if it were deciding whether to swallow them. Ovek slept beneath it instead, curled on the cool ground with one shoulder touching the wall. The first time the medic found them there, she made a soft sound and said something about trauma nesting. Ovek did not know that phrase. They knew what it meant. Adults liked giving fear a name that made fear easier for adults to carry. The shelter smelled of antiseptic, wet dust, warmed plastic, and old machine oil. Beyond the walls, the memorial field clicked and whispered. Metal strips struck wire in the wind. Offerings rustled. Cloth knots tightened and loosened. Names knocked against names. Ovek could hear all of them. Not read, hear. That was the wrongness. Names were not supposed to make sound after death. In Ovek's earliest lessons, names returned to the holding memory when breath left the body. Families carried them aloud. Witnesses answered. The dead entered the record through mouths that belonged to the living. A name left alone on metal was not a returned name. It was a trapped thing. At home, before the worksite, before the guards, before the second shaft fell, Ovek's elder sibling had taught them the call and answer game with smooth stones. "I speak," Leth had said. "I hold," Ovek had answered. Leth touched a stone. "I carry. I remember. I release. I return." Then Leth had laughed because Ovek always said the last answer too loudly, proud of knowing the pattern. Now the fence said the pattern all wrong. "I speak, I speak, I speak." No one answered. The old site keeper's name was Marek. That was not the name Ovek had spoken from the wrong mouth. Marek told them this through the medic because Ovek still did not trust their own voice for long stretches. The medic's name was Vesa. She had blue skin along the inner arms and grey skin everywhere else, a pattern Ovek had been told not to stare at. She wore her head covering loose and kept three emergency lights clipped to her belt. When she was nervous, she counted them with her thumb. "Ovek," Vesa said gently, "Marek wants to ask if you knew his child." Ovek sat on the shelter floor with their back against the wall. Their knees were drawn under their chin. Someone had brought them a blanket printed with company moons. But Ovek had folded it into a square and placed it beside them instead of over them. Company moons meant sleep under permission. Ovek did not sleep under permission anymore. Marek stood near the door with both hands folded around a cap. He had washed since the first day, the black mourning line still cut across his grey shoulder wrap, though rain had softened the mark. He looked smaller indoors. Ovek shook their head. Vesa translated. Marek nodded too many times. "He asks," Vesa said, slower now, "if the voice knew his child." Ovek looked at the floor. The question made Ovek's throat tighten. People kept bringing questions like that. "Did you see my brother? Did she hurt? Did my mate call me? Did the little ones know? Did anyone say my name?" The guards outside called them petitioners. Vesa called them families. The new administrator called them an unmanaged grief concentration. Ovek called them heavy. They could feel the questions before they heard the words. They pressed against the skin with heat and chill at once. "I don't know," Ovek said. Their own voice came out this time, thin, young. Marek closed his eyes. Vesa did not translate immediately. Ovek appreciated that. Outside, a gust moved across the memorial field. Metal spoke metal. Marek's cap twisted in his hands. Vesa listened to him and turned back to Ovek. "He says his child was not listed because they were not a registered worker. They were brought here as dependent labor and assigned a sleep number, not a work number." Ovek knew sleep numbers. They had worn one on a cord under their shirt. A sleep number meant the company could count a body at night without admitting it worked during the day. Ovek put one hand against their own chest. The cord was gone. Their clothing had returned, their skin, their scars. The cord had not. It had belonged to the company more than to them. "What was the child called?" Ovek asked. Vesa translated, Marek answered. "Tav," Vesa said. The shelter tightened around them. "Tav." The name struck something inside Ovek and did not bounce away. The room filled with stone pressure, with heat, with a small hand gripping Ovek's sleeve in the dark. Not memory. Not theirs. Ovek made a sound and clamped both hands over their mouth. Vesa moved toward them. Ovek shook their head hard. No. If Vesa touched them, Ovek might say the rest. If Ovek said the rest, Marek would think he had been given a miracle. Miracles were dangerous. People built cages around them and called the cages temples. Marek whispered something. Vesa did not translate. Ovek heard it anyway. "Please." The voice rose from the place behind their ribs. Not Tav's. Older, a woman's voice cracked with dust. "Tell him the little one sang." Ovek bit their own knuckle until pain made the voice blur. Their teeth left marks. Their voice stayed theirs. "I can't be your answer," Ovek said. Vesa translated. Marek stared. Ovek forced themselves to look at him. "I can tell you Tav was there," they said. "I can tell you the name belongs on the fence. I can tell you someone should have answered when Tav called." Vesa's voice shook when she carried the words across. Marek's cap fell from his hands. "But I am not Tav," Ovek said, "and Tav is not inside me to give away." The wind moved the metal strips outside. For once, the sound seemed to wait. Marek bent and picked up his cap. He pressed it to his mouth. Then he bowed. Not the official bow to a witness, not the old prayer bow to a death speaker. A small bow, person to person. Ovek did not know what to do with that, so they nodded once. Their throat hurt. The woman's voice behind their ribs receded, leaving a taste like stone dust and bitter root. Vesa wiped her face with the back of one wrist and pretended not to. By afternoon, the administrator arrived with two security officers and a recording slate. His name was Kelrun. Ovek remembered because he said it twice and expected it to mean something. He wore a clean black coat with the company emblem removed. The removal had left a pale outline on the fabric, a ghost logo over his heart. His boots were polished, despite the mud. His voice had the softness of someone who had practiced being reasonable in rooms where other people were not allowed to leave. "We are not here to distress you," he said. Ovek sat on the floor. Vesa stood between Ovek and the recording slate until Kelrun asked her to move. She did not. Kelrun smiled at her. "Medic Vesa, this is an administrative review, not a medical intervention." "Then review from there," Vesa said. Ovek liked her more after that. One of the security officers looked toward the window. Outside, families had gathered again beyond the fence. They did not chant. Chants were easier to dismiss. They only stood with cloth strips in their hands and watched the shelter. Kelrun glanced at them, then back to Ovek. "You understand that public unrest is growing." Ovek said nothing. "You have become a focus." Still nothing. "Certain statements attributed to you have intensified claims that the company falsified the loss list." Vesa's mouth tightened. "The company did falsify the loss list," she said. Kelrun did not look at her. "Ovek," he said, "we need to establish what you know directly and what you may be repeating from overheard material." Ovek pressed their palms flat against the floor. The floor hummed faintly with generator vibration. "Real, here. Not stone. Not falling. Not the shaft. Do you understand the question?" Kelrun asked. Ovek nodded. "Good. Did anyone coach you before you spoke to Marek of the unlisted child?" "No." "Did you know Marek before the incident?" "No." "Did you know Tav?" Ovek looked at the window. A strip of blue cloth had already been tied near the eastern post. The officials would cut it away in the morning. "I knew Tav after," Ovek said. Kelrun leaned forward. "After what?" Ovek's fingers curled against the floor seam, after the roof became the ground, after the lamps went out. After breath was something everyone wanted and no one had enough of. After the orange place, after the black water, after the voices began arriving without bodies. I don't know, Ovek said. Kel'Roon made a note on the slate. Are you aware that making unsupported claims about unregistered deaths may constitute incitement? Vessa laughed once. It was not a happy sound. Ovek looked at Kel'Roon's coat, at the pale outline where the company emblem had been removed. You took off the moon, Ovek said. Kel'Roon paused. I'm sorry. The company moon. On your coat. You took it off. This is not relevant. You still know where it was. Vessa went still. Kel'Roon's face tightened for half a second. Ovek did not know why they had said it until the next words came. This time the voice was not Tav's or the woman's. It was deeper, with a wet rattle through it. You sealed the west vent first, Ovek said. The security officers shifted. Kel'Roon's eyes moved to the recording slate. Ovek tried to stop. Their mouth kept opening. You said there were no living signals past the second gate. You said the heat bloom was machinery. You said, if we open the vent, we open the inquiry. Vessa whispered, Ovek. Kel'Roon stood. Stop the recording. The officer holding the slate fumbled. Ovek shoved both hands over their mouth, but the words came through their fingers. They were tapping. The room seemed to tilt. They were tapping in groups of four because Leth taught them. Four means air. Four means here. Four means answer. Ovek's body forgot the shelter. The floor became stone. Their ribs became a closed hand. Their throat filled with dust that was not there. Vessa dropped to one knee in front of them. Ovek, look at me. Look here. Ovek tried. Kel'Roon said, this interview is concluded. The deeper voice clawed once more. You heard them. Then Ovek vomited onto the floor. Not much. Water and bitter root. Their body had not accepted real food since returning. Vessa pushed the recording slate away with one foot and put herself fully between Ovek and the administrator. Out, she said. This child has made an accusation against a public stabilization officer. This child is medically unstable. That is evident. Vessa stood. For a moment she did not look like a medic. She looked like someone who knew exactly where to put her hands if a person needed to be broken quickly. Out, she said again. Kel'Roon left. The officers followed. The door shut. Outside, the families had begun to murmur, not chant, not yet. Murmur was worse. Murmur could become anything. Ovek wiped their mouth with the back of one hand. I didn't mean to, they said. Vessa crouched again, slower this time. I know. It was true. Vessa looked at the closed door. I know that too. That night, Ovek was moved from the shelter to the old transit building at the edge of the site. Officially, it was for their protection. Vessa used the same words twice, which meant she did not believe them. The transit building had been where workers boarded the descending cars before the company moved the main access road. It was long and low, with a roof patched in three materials and benches bolted to the floor. The old schedule board still hung above the doors, though the lines listed there no longer ran. Shift 1, descent. 4 as you arm. Shift 2, descent 12. Shift 3, descent 21 Zhao. No ascent times. Ovek noticed that. Vessa noticed them noticing. I can cover it, she said. No. The building was quieter than the shelter. The families were farther away. The memorial field was only a dark blur beyond the windows. But quiet did not mean empty. Ovek sat on a bench with both feet tucked under them and listened. The dead were softer here. Not gone. Soft. Like voices heard through folded cloth. Tav was one thread, the woman another. The wet-voiced worker who had spoken through Ovek in front of Kel'Roon was a heavy one, dark and frayed at the end. Leth was not there. Ovek hated themselves for listening for Leth most. Vessa brought a bowl of broth and sat three benches away so Ovek would not feel crowded. Do you have family? She asked. Ovek stared at the broth. Had. I'm sorry. Ovek shrugged one shoulder. Adults said sorry when no action fit the wound. My elder sibling was Leth, Ovek said. Vessa waited. Leth knew how to make everyone answer. Even guards, even grown workers who thought children should keep silent. Ovek's mouth twitched. Leth said a name unanswered was a door left open. Vesa looked toward the dark windows. Do you hear Leth? No. It came out too quickly. Vesa nodded as if the speed of the answer was also an answer. Ovek lifted the bowl. The broth smelled of root and salt. Their stomach objected. They drank anyway. Maybe that is mercy, Vesa said. Ovek did not know if they hated her for that. The transit building lights flickered. Once, twice, then steadied. Ovek saw orange along the old schedule board. Not reflection, not fire, a thin line of sunset where no sun could reach. Their hand tightened around the bowl. Vesa stood. What is it? Ovek could not answer. The transit building was gone. The bench remained under them, but beyond it was black water stretching to a horizon that hurt to look at. Figures stood along the shore, some small, some tall, some human, some not, some with faces washed blank by distance, names moved over the water, not spoken, carried, Mara Vale. The name struck the shore and vanished. Nia Reyes, another ripple, Sar Ven, a bright fracture, sharp as black stone, Asha Menon, a heartbeat under glass, Elias Crow. The water pulled back from that one. Not away, in, as if the name had weight. Ovek leaned forward. There were more names, too many to hold. Some belonged to the dead, some to the living, some to those who had not yet learned which they were. Then one voice rose clear behind Ovek's ear. Not Leth, not Tav, not the wet-voiced worker. A calm woman's voice. Not yet, little witness. Ovek dropped the bowl. It shattered. The transit building returned in pieces. Floor, bench, Vesa running, broth spreading under the broken ceramic, old schedule board, dark windows, no ocean. Ovek could not breathe. Vesa reached for them and stopped just short. Ovek, they shook their head. Ovek, tell me what you need. Names crowded their teeth. Mara, Nia, Sar, Asha, Elias, Leth, Tav, Marek. The wet-voiced worker, the woman in dust. Too many mouths inside one mouth. Ovek pressed both palms to the bench and forced one word out. Paper. Vesa stared. Paper. Please. She moved fast. There was no paper in the transit building, so she tore blank backing sheets from a medical packet and brought a marker from her belt. Ovek took them with shaking hands. The marker was too thick. The backing sheet resisted ink. Their letters came crooked. Some were not in the right alphabet. Some were not letters at all, but marks from the holding memory, old forms used before company script. They wrote until the first sheet filled. Vesa gave another. They wrote until their wrist hurt, not all the names. They could not write all the names. That was the first thing Ovek understood with painful relief. They were not required to hold all the dead. Only the next name. The one in front of them. The one asking. The one that would be lost if no one answered. When their hand finally stopped, the floor was scattered with medical backing sheets. Some held names, some held directions, some held phrases Ovek did not understand. One sheet had only two words in human letters. Mara Vale. Another, Elias Crow. Vesa picked that one up carefully. Who is this? Ovek looked at the name. The water in their mind moved around it. I don't know. Dead? Ovek listened. No. Then why write it? Ovek touched the paper. The name felt warm. Because something is calling it. Vesa folded the sheet once and put it in her pocket. Then we keep it. Ovek looked at the floor, at the names spread around their feet. For the first time since returning, the voices did not feel like a crowd trying to live through them. They felt like a line. A terrible line. At least a line had a beginning. A line could be walked. Ovek picked up the nearest sheet. Tav, child of Marek. They held it against their chest. I speak, they whispered. Vesa did not know the answer. The transit building did. The names along the floor moved softly in the draft. I hold. Ovek closed their eyes. I carry. Outside, beyond the windows, cloth strips lifted on the hazard fence. I remember. Ovek breathed in. The air entered. The air left. I release. For one blessed second, no dead voice answered, only Ovek's own. I return.